My name is Stuart Mizell, and I'm glad to see all of you here today. If you wouldn't mind, turn in the scriptures to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to be looking at verses 5 through 9 today. While you're turning there, let me give you a little backdrop on what we've been doing. We had started a couple of weeks ago a new series called 2020 Vision. And what we're talking about is, hindsight is often called 2020 Vision, but what we're talking about is like looking forward into the future. How do we need to live? What do we need to focus on? What kinds of things do we need to do to be the people that God has called us to be? 2 weeks ago, we talked about worship. Worship is a top priority for the church. We worship God because He is worthy of worship, and He is worthy of praise. And we gather together in meetings like this because our God is worthy, if nothing else, for what He's done for us in Christ. Second, last week we talked about being a community, and a specific type of community, a humble community, a community where we recognize that we do not have it all together, and we're willing to share that we don't have it all together with one another. We're willing to humble ourselves before God and before each other, to let each other know that we care about each other, and we're not trying to put ourselves above one another, but we recognize that we need each other. And most of all, we need Jesus, the true vine. We're branches. And apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. And that leads us to today, where we're going to be talking about growth. And the passage that we're going to be reading, it comes from 1 Corinthians 3. But if you've ever read through 1 Corinthians, you know the church was really messed up in lots of ways. I mean, there's a lot of problems in the church in Corinth. And one of those problems was that people were looking at leaders and saying, I like this guy. I like that guy. I want to follow him. I want to follow that one. No, this guy's better. And they had their favorites. And there were divisions and factions because of that in the church. And Paul is addressing that in part in this passage. So again, this is God's word. Paul, the apostle, wrote these words down, but what we have is the actual word of God, the way He wants His church to hear it. May we all hear what the Spirit has to say to the church through His word. And this is what God's word says in verse 5 through 9 of 1 Corinthians 3. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants. Through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one. And each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Let me pray for us. Lord, we are thankful. Thankful for your word. Thankful that you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light through the gospel of Jesus. We thank you that you've given us this opportunity to come together as your people to worship, to be a community that humbles ourselves before you and before one another. And we're thankful that you are the one who brings growth to your church. Will you help us to see what that means and what part we play, and in all things, help us to see Jesus more clearly, to believe his promises more sincerely, and to grasp hold, as we sang just a few minutes, that the plans you have for us are good plans. Plans that we can trust in, and plans that we know you will carry to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. And it is his name we pray this. Amen. Have you ever pondered the marvelous mystery of growth? I mean, think about it. Each one of you in this room started off as an embryo in your mother's womb. And you grew, and you grew, and you grew, and then finally you were born, and then you continued to grow. And how something so small as that embryo in a mother's womb can one day grow to be bigger and taller than their parents. It's amazing, isn't it? Or think about the redwood trees, like over in California. If you've ever seen a redwood tree, you know those trees can grow up to hundreds of feet tall. They're huge. But did you know that each year, a redwood tree produces 6 to 8 million seeds? Think about that. 6 to 8 million seeds in one year. But those seeds are so tiny that a million seeds weigh only 8 pounds. And how something so small like that can grow to be so big, so large, so enormous. And on top of that, of those 6 to 8 million seeds that grow, that are produced each year, only 5% of them actually grow into a sapling. It's amazing. There's a mystery there, right? As I've gotten older, I've been pondering the mystery of hair growth. Because for some reason, the growth on top of my head has ceased, at least in parts, but the growth inside my ears and my nose has increased tenfold. There's a mystery there. But growth really is a marvelous thing. And I'm pretty sure that if I went around and I asked each one of you, do you want the Church of Jesus Christ to grow? Each one of you would say, yes, of course we do. But there's a marvelous mystery, a marvelous thing that's going on when we talk about the growth of the church. And so today we want to talk about that some, but we've got to start at the beginning. We've got to start at what is most important. And the most important thing that we need to hear today when it comes to church growth is this: growth comes from God. Period. Growth comes from God. All right? In this passage, Paul, again, he's talking about himself and this guy named Apollos. Both of them were good preachers, preachers who would go and spread the word and do things for the church. And he says, what is Apollos? What is Paul? They're servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. And then he says, I planted a seed, right? Apollos watered the seed, but God gave the growth. God is the one behind the growth. And then he says it even stronger, and I want you to really focus on verse 7 for just a moment. Neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. That seems a bit strong, doesn't it? To say that, you know, me, Paul the Apostle, and this guy, other guy, Apollos, that we're out there preaching the word and planting seeds and watering seeds, metaphorically speaking, and yet we're not anything apart from God. Neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Folks, a lot of books have been written on church growth, all right? A lot of books. I have a good number of them in my library and on my Kindle, all right? And a lot of those books focus on specific strategies and specific things that we can do to grow, all right? And some of those things are good, some of those things are helpful, but we have to start with the truth of Scripture more than the truth of marketing. There are all kinds of ways we can market church. But ultimately, it's God who brings the growth. God is the one who grows the little baby into an adult, the seed into a tree, and the church into what he calls it to be. Now, having said that, we do have to recognize that while God is the one who gives the growth, we do understand that the Scriptures call us to some type of action. Right? You've seen that. That the Scriptures don't just say, all right, God will bring the growth, so here's what I want you to do. Check out that new series on Netflix. I mean, just veg out in front of the TV and watch the entire season, and then start the next season, and then start the next season, and wait for God to do his thing. You don't have to lift a finger. Is that what the Scriptures actually say? Well, I know the Scriptures don't talk about Netflix, but still. Is that what the Scriptures actually say? No. No. The Scriptures, God calls his people to engage in the ministry of growth. If I can put it this way, God normally, and notice the word normally, we'll come back to that in a minute, God normally works through ordinary means to achieve growth. Let me say that again. God normally works through ordinary means to achieve growth. And that growth is not just numerical growth for the church. It's also growth in maturity. Not just numbers, but growing in our faith. God normally works through ordinary means to achieve growth. Take a look at what Paul says in this passage. He says in verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Now, I know that many of you are not farmers. There are some of you who are. I grew up on a farm. And if my dad had said, you know what, son? This year we're going to try something different. We're not going to plant any seeds. We're not going to go out to the field and do anything to it. We're just going to let it sit there. And then come about, you know, September or so, we're going to reap the harvest. It's going to be awesome. You know what people would think? He's lost his mind. That's not the way it works. Not normally, at least. Now, before you think that I'm saying something I'm not saying, could God raise up a whole harvest apart from us doing anything? He sure could. You know why I know that? Because he's God. The God who spoke all of creation, all of the universe, into existence by simply saying, let there be. And there was. So God could say, let there be a harvest, and there could be. God could say, let these people grow, and we would. But God has chosen, in some mysterious way, to choose to use ordinary means to produce growth. Now, he's the one behind it all, And it won't happen without Him. But He's the one that makes it grow. I want you to think about this. You guys know that I don't like yard work. I do it because it needs to be done. But it's not my favorite. There's this plant out in our backyard that I cannot kill. I have tried on all kinds of ways. I mean, literally, I've cut it down to the ground, grows back up. Okay? I have sprayed it with a mixture of salt and dish detergent because I heard that that works. Did not kill it. I broke out the, you know, the six-month Roundup. You know, the stuff that's supposed to kill everything for 6 months. Sprayed that bad boy good. And it looked like it was withering. And I was like, yes, I won. And the plant came back. That is a powerful plant. Now, I'm using that as an analogy that we can do either all the right things or all the wrong things. And growth is up to God. Right? It's not in my power to either grow or not grow. That's up to God. But God does call us to use ordinary means primarily to do what He's called us to do. Just like He calls a farmer to plant seed and to water seed, we, the church, are to engage in those ordinary means to produce growth. And so this means that growth in the church normally, again, we're talking normally, comes from God through His servants. From God through His servants. Right? Verse 5. What is Apollos? What is Paul? You guys are making a big deal about your leaders and you're thinking they're so awesome and they're so wonderful and some of you like him and some of you like this other guy and some of you like this third guy. But listen, we're all servants. We belong to God. He's the one who calls the shots. He's the one who grows the church. We're simply servants. Don't make a bigger deal out of us than what is necessary because we're not a big deal. We're servants. You know, a few weeks ago, around Christmas time, our church participated in this lunch for people who don't have food on Christmas Day over at Jehovah. And there's a story that I was wrestling with whether I want to tell you or not, but I'm going to tell you just because it makes a point. So I come to the last, I'm at the last round of serving, and I was put on cleanup duty. And I'm walking around and trying to help clean up, you know, stuff off the tables and that sort of thing. And there's this one lady who was standing there, and I asked, is this plate still being used? And she said, no, I don't think so. And I pick up the plate, and I'm getting ready to take it away, and she says, go get me a bag. And, you know, I did a double take, like, what? Go get me a bag. Now, you know, my polite southernness was a little offended by that phrase. You know, would you please get me a bag? Would you be so kind as to get me a bag? That's kind of what I expected, but I got, go get me a bag. I was like, okay. So I went to go get a bag. But in my heart, I was grumbling. Like, I'm not your servant. Well, yeah, I am. Yeah, I am. I'm a servant. A servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm a servant of the church. And if somebody says, go get me a bag, I don't need to grumble about that. I either need to go get the bag lovingly and willingly, Or I need to say, I am unable to get that bag, but I can find somebody who will. That's a servant attitude, right? And that's not what I had in my heart that day, in that moment. And Paul very clearly says, look, what are we? We're servants. We're servants. And it's through God's servants that God will produce growth. Neither he plants nor he who waters is anything. Why? Because we're servants. But God uses his servants to give the growth. As he says in verse 9, we are God's, and this is amazing, folks, we are God's fellow workers. Fellow workers that, okay, first of all, I'm a servant, but I'm also a fellow worker. God has called his servants to work alongside him, that he will work through to bring growth, both numerically to the kingdom and maturity-wise for the church. That's powerful stuff. And I want you to see this. Because the church belongs to God, okay? It doesn't belong to Stuart. It doesn't belong to the elders. It doesn't belong to the congregation. It doesn't even belong to the PCA or whatever denomination your church may be a part of. The church belongs to God. And because the church belongs to God, the expectation of faith is that we will see growth. Do you believe that? God so loves the church, right? Now, he so loves the world, but he put his special love on the church. How do I know that? Because Jesus calls the church his bride. God loves the church. And because the church belongs to him, we have an expectation of faith that we will see growth, both numerically and maturity-wise. We will. Now, there might be fits and starts. There will be problems that will come up because we live in a fallen world. There will be issues that we have to deal with. But the expectation is, because we belong to God, we're his servants. Look at verse 9. We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. You belong to God. And you know what? As much as I love you as a church, God loves you more. As much as I want to care for you, and be there for you, and do whatever it is that a pastor is to do, God loves and cares for you more. How do I know that? Because of Jesus, right? When you look at the cross, when you look at what God has done for us in Jesus, I mean, he took nails in his hands and his feet. He had a crown of thorns on his head. He had a spear in his side. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was mocked. Why? Because he loves his church. And he was willing to go through all that to get to the end result. And you know what the end result will be? If you want, you can turn here, but if you don't want to do that, you can just listen. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. Listen to this beautiful end to which Jesus brings his church. After this, John writes, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number. A great multitude. That's a lot of people. For those of you who don't know what a multitude is. A great multitude that no one can number. No one can count that high. And these people come from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. They were standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and they're crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." That's the destiny of the church. That's the growth. A multitude that no one can count. And not just from Sumter, South Carolina, or the United States of America, but from all over the world. This is why we do missions. This is why we want to grow in evangelism. This is why we want to go out and spread news, because God loves His church. His church belongs to Him. He wants that church to grow into a great multitude that no one can count. And not just to grow in number, but these folks grow in the point that they love Jesus more than they love anything else. That's good news. And look, this takes on even greater significance when we think about Jesus' promise, in light of Christ's promise to build His church. Please listen to me in this part. Jesus has given us a promise. You may remember when the disciples are all standing around Jesus, and Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" And they roll off a whole bunch of things. "Who do people say that I am?" I'm sorry, got a little ahead of myself. And they say, "Oh, people are saying all kinds of things, Jesus." "Well, who do you say that I am?" And I can imagine they're all like, "Oh." And then Peter steps forward. Peter steps forward and he says, "You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, among other things, "You're Peter, and on this rock, I will build my church." Who's going to build the church? Is it going to be Peter? Is it going to be the apostles? Is it going to be Westminster Presbyterian Church? Is it going to be the PCA? No, it's Jesus, who has promised to build His church. Jesus promises growth. And He goes on to say, the gates of Hades or the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So many people get this wrong. I love them. But they get it wrong. They think that the church is this holy huddle where hell is coming after us, attacking us, battling, trying to beat us down, which there is some truth to that. But Jesus' imagery is not that. Gates are meant to be opened. And He says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church He builds. And that means the church is banging on those gates, and they will not hold because of Jesus. You hear me? The one who died and rose from the dead and ascended into heaven and rules and reigns as King and Lord over His church, He will build His church. And one day, we will be a multitude that no one can count. And we will not be as, forgive me for saying it this way, but we won't be as homogeneous as we look today. It'll be people from all over the world. People of every tribe and race, people of every language. And you know what? It's going to be beautiful. It really is. Now, one last thing before we close down for today. Just what we've seen is that God promises growth. God promises that He will finish what He began. And He started the growth of the church, and He's going to finish it. And He uses people like me and you to grow His church. But there is also an expectation that co-laborers of different types are called to work together for kingdom growth. Let me say that again. There is an expectation in this passage that co-laborers of different types are called to work together for kingdom growth. Do you see what's going here? Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and they're having divisions because some say, I like Apollos better than Paul. I think Apollos is cool. And another is saying, no, Paul is much better. And there are even others. In chapter 1, there's some who say, Cephas is my man. And then there are the really spiritual ones who are saying, well, I follow Jesus. I don't know about you guys, but Jesus is my man. And Paul is saying, look, because there are divisions among you this way, you're not getting it. God's called us to work together. Apollos, yeah, okay, I planted the seed, yes, but Apollos came by and then he watered that seed. And each of us had that role to play. We work together. And the same is true for the church. Paul says that the church is like a body, right? The body of Christ. And each person has a part to play. Each person, whether you're a thumb or a finger or a nose or an eye, it doesn't matter. Each person has a part to play. And as we work together, God will produce growth. He will. Again, let me ask you, do you believe that? Do you believe? All right, so one of the things that we want to focus on this year, yes, we want to focus on worshiping together, that worship is a top priority for us, all right? We want to focus on being a humble community, recognizing that, like the passage says, neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. And so we can say, as we're going to sing in a few minutes, not unto us, O Lord, but to your name be the glory. Right? If any growth happens, if any good things happen, it's because of God. But we want to grow. And we want to work together with other churches to grow. That doesn't sound right, does it? Aren't we in competition, you know, with the Baptists and the Methodists? You know, isn't there like a Presbyterian heaven and a Methodist heaven and a Baptist heaven? And No. We want to work together to see growth, kingdom growth. And of course, we want to see people come here, this church, this particular church. Yes, we want to see that. But we also want to see people go into Jehovah Missionary Baptist, don't we? And Holy Comfort. And other churches in our community. That's part of the reason why we have a community church that we pray for every Sunday. Now, why am I telling you all this? Because you have a part to play. And it starts recognizing God is the one who's in charge of the growth. Right? Just like that plant that I can't kill in my backyard. If you go out to do the work and you do everything wrong, God can still cause things to grow. And that's a great encouragement to us. Because what it means is, on some level, and I know this is going to be a little scary for some of us, on some level, we can't miss it. Does that make you uncomfortable? On some level, we can't miss what God is going to do. We just get engaged. And God does the work. through us. We just have to take the step of faith. We have to ask a person, hey, would you like to come to worship on Sunday? Or would you like to come to a life group? We're meeting at so-and-so's house. We would love to have you. Or maybe just saying, hey, tell me how things are going. And you start engaging and listening and finding a way to talk about the Lord Jesus with them. Do you guys want that? You don't sound too excited. And I don't blame you. Because you know what? Growth means change. Growth means change. That little embryo that was in the mommy's womb doesn't stay an embryo. That little seed that grows up to be a redwood tree, it doesn't stay a little seed. And the little church that started off with 12 guys with Jesus, it's not going to stay 12 guys. It's going to grow. The question is, do you want to be a part of that? Do you want to engage? Do you want to believe that God is really going to do this through us? Little old Westminster. Wouldn't that be awesome? And that's my challenge and my encouragement to you. God is going to give the growth. Let's engage in whatever way. And if you need help knowing what it is to engage in, we'd be happy to talk to you. There's more work in this community and even in this church than can be done. So, let's do our part to facilitate growth, trusting that in the final analysis, it is God who will give the growth. And we can bank on that. Let me pray for us. Father, we want to thank you for your grace to us in Christ. We want to thank you for your promise that you have begun a good work in us and you will carry it on to completion. We want to thank you that growth is really not in our hands. It is in your hands. And yet at the same time, you give us this great honor and privilege to join together that you would work through us to grow your church numerically and maturity-wise. Will you help this church to grow? Will you help our sister churches to grow? Particularly, I'm thinking of Jehovah Missionary and Holy Comforter. But all the churches here in Sumter, that we would not be in competition, but we would be co-laborers doing the work of seeing the kingdom grow. Will you produce that kind of growth? We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.